some big news out today from the media world. Cable company Charter Communications has reached a deal to buy Time Warner Cable for a price tag of $55 billion.
Time Warner and Charter are the two biggest cable companies in Wisconsin, providing the majority of cable television and internet services in the state. Nationally, the combined cable giant would have 23 million total customer accounts. The deal still needs federal approval, and it raises questions about what it would mean for cable and internet customers.
Joining us now to talk about the deal is Joe Flint. He's a media and entertainment reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm also a Washington Redskins fan. I hope that's okay with your listening base.
Well, we'll find out later what people have to say about our story. Well, we're going to look in at this news story here about Charter and Time Warner. Take a closer look at what $55 billion will buy you first. What's included in this deal?
Well, basically, Charter is acquiring all of Time Warner Cable's subscribers, which is, you know, over 10 million. That, along with an acquisition Charter announced a few days ago for Brighthouse, a smaller operator that has a couple million subscribers, will make Charter now the second largest cable and broadband provider to Comcast. And you know, when you throw in their business customers as well as their residential, the number is actually closer to 23 million customers to Comcast, 27 million. So they have said for the last few years they wanted to get bigger, and now they are on the verge of doing it.
And this is Charter's second swing at this. Why does Charter want this deal so badly to acquire Time Warner Cable?
Well, Charter CEO Tom Rutledge has been pretty outspoken that it is his belief that you need to be bigger to survive in the cable industry. A few years ago, he thought that there would ultimately be two big cable providers. One would be Comcast, and then it might be up for grabs on who that other one would be. And he was determined to make Charter that company. And as you correctly mentioned, he went after Time Warner Cable before. There was less willingness to do a deal at that time. Time Warner Cable rebuffed Charter's offer several times. And then Comcast swooped in with a bigger offer, and except for the regulatory walls they hit, that deal almost came to fruition. I think when the Comcast deal collapsed, Charter came back in and made a much sweeter offer to win over Time Warner Cable, and at that point, I guess Time Warner Cable was sort of willing to give it a whirl this time. That was a price that they liked.
Well, let's look at that that deal. It almost went through with Comcast and Time Warner Cable. The regulators said no to that on antitrust grounds. What makes this different?
Well, it's smaller. That's one reason it's different. And they will not have the same amount of broadband reach in the country. I mean, Comcast was prepared to become, you know, basically the main provider to over half the country in broadband. And this combination will not come anywhere near that. Also, to a lesser degree, but still a factor, Comcast is a large programmer. You know, they own NBC, they own CNBC, they own a lot of cable channels, they own a movie studio. All of those things were also a concern to regulators because they were nervous about whether Comcast might favor its own content either on its cable or on its internet pipes. And Charter and Time Warner Cable have very little content. Time Warner Cable does own some sports channels, but they are not a big owner of giant entertainment or news outlets the way Comcast was.
We're talking to Wall Street Journal reporter Joe Flint, talking about the proposed sale of Time Warner Cable to Charter Communications. And Joe, as a consumer, people wondering, what does this mean for me and what I have to pay and the content I can get? Do we have any hint of that yet?
Well, I mean, for the consumer right now, it's tough to say what this really means. I mean, customer service issues are familiar to all cable customers. Charter actually gets pretty decent grades on customer service. I mean, look, most people hate their cable companies. It's just the way it is. It almost doesn't matter what the company could do. It's just something people love to hate. But Charter is considered to be stronger in customer relations than Time Warner Cable. They have faster broadband at a lower price in many of their systems throughout the country. But the real issue in terms of cost, if you're a video subscriber, that falls more to the programmers. And maybe since Charter's a little bit bigger now, well, a lot bigger, but you know, maybe they'll be able to negotiate better deals with the ESPNs and MTVs of the world for what they pay. But that's where the real tension is, and a lot of that is sort of out of Charter's hands. And the downside perhaps here is Charter's going to take on a lot of debt to get this deal done. So they'll have to find ways to do that, and hopefully they, you know, won't look to their customers to help foot the bill, because the cable industry is under a lot of pressure right now. Younger consumers are not subscribing to cable the way they might have in the past. They're going online. They're just using broadband. And Charter's a broadband provider, of course, but that video package is still pretty important, and you don't want to, you know, further drive people away.
Well, with this consolidation, this merger, what is the inclination to you about whether or not this will be better for consumers? Because that's what regulators are going to be looking at. Is this better for consumers? Now, you're not a regulator, but is there a clear case for you that consumers will benefit if Charter acquires Time Warner Cable?
They can argue that together they will be able to invest more on their platforms, their technology, their customer service, and better serve their subscribers by being bigger. They can argue that they will be able to push back against high programming costs, which would also be a benefit to consumers. And same with broadband. They'll be able to argue that together they'll be able to make that case. And, you know, well, we don't know what the regulators are saying, but sort of the public policy watchdog folks out there are not, as of yet, going after this deal the way they did Comcast, Time Warner Cable, where it was pretty much the deal was barely announced when people were telling the government, you can't let this go through. That's not happening here. Certainly there'll be some sort of condition.
And I believe we may have just lost Joe. Joe, you with us? I think we just lost Joe. Well, we'll see if we can get him back. And all right. I think we're not going to get him back, but we've heard a lot there about the Time Warner Cable being bought by Charter Communications. We're talking there with Joe Flint of The Wall Street Journal.
Coming up next, the Madison School Board voted to ban students wearing clothing depicting Native American team names, logos, or mascots. And we want to hear from you. What do you think of that idea? Is that something you'd want to see at the school in your community? We'll be taking your calls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. The Madison School Board just recently approved an amendment to this district's dress code, creating what's believed to be the most comprehensive ban on Native American logos in the state.
In addition to the current regulations, the new rule adds that students may not wear shirts, hats, or other attire depicting Native American team names, logos, or mascots. The policy is set to go into effect next school year.
Supporters of that change say that clothing depicting Native American logos or mascots is hurtful and reinforces negative racial stereotypes. Some critics have already said the change goes too far in restricting expression.
So we want to know, what do you think about this new policy? Is banning clothing with imagery of Native American logos or mascots a step in the right direction, or is it too restrictive of expression? What would you like to see for your district? Does this raise free speech concerns? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll get to your calls now. We've got Marie on the line in Brookfield. Marie, hi.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think about this, Marie?
I think it's way too restrictive. And once again, the schools are having a knee-jerk reaction. Banning clothes that kids want to wear because, you know, it's got a tomahawk or something on it. I get the whole thing about the school names. But, I mean, think about in the past when schools have, they've had the ban against weapons, and then you're seeing little kids get suspended from school because they brought an orange squirt gun to school, you know, and it went against, like, there's no weapons or anything even looks like a weapon. It was a squirt gun. I mean, we got to look at things sensibly.
Marie, thanks a lot for your call at 800-642-1234.
And we go next to Molly. Molly joins us from Milwaukee. Hi there.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to call in to say I support the school district's decision. I tend not to be a fan of restricting speech or apparel, particularly among sort of young minds, but when you boil this right down to the issue at hand, it's racism, and schools shouldn't tolerate racism. That's what they're for, is to teach children values like anti-racism. So I don't think they're going to throw a kid out of school for wearing such a shirt, but certainly they should be banning it and talking to kids who do choose to make that apparel decision.
Got it. Thank you so much for your call, Molly, at 800-642-1234, and we have a line for you.
We are talking about the Madison School District's ban on Native American-related logos and mascots on clothing that kids wear to school. We've heard a lot, of course, about the school mascot debate, whether high schools and others can have team names, mascots based on Native American imagery. This goes a little further. It's what kids can wear to school. Join in at 800-642-1234. We've got Jeff next on the line in Wausau. Jeff, hi.
Yeah. Hi there. Just wondering where it's going to end. It's not going to be fair if they don't also do Scandinavian. So we got to make sure the Vikings are gone. We have to make sure that the Italian pizza joints that have the Luigi and the Italian gentleman on the front, that's also racist then as well. So we got to be across the board equal on this, right?
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Critics or supporters of this have pointed toward history of genocide and things like that. I think that's the distinction they would make. But thanks for sharing your thoughts, Jeff, at 800-642-1234.
And we go next to Jim joining us in Hurley. Hi, Jim.
Hi. My question is, how many people are genuinely concerned about being offended about school mascot logos and names? Is this maybe a case of where a handful of people are just trying to stir up the dust? That's my question.
Okay, well, thank you for your thoughts, Jim. We have an article linked right now on the Central Time Facebook page, which will give you a little bit more information. It sounds like this initially arose with a student group in Madison.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about a ban on Native American-related logos, mascots, on clothing worn by students. This is in the Madison School District. Interested in hearing your thoughts on the idea, whether you'd like to see something similar in your part of the state. We've got Noel in Milwaukee now. Noel, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think an important thing to remember here is that when we have situations like this, there's a sensitivity to a subject, whether it's the Holocaust, whether it's any other thing that's really important to us in the world, where we celebrate it as a memorial, for example, it's not a reminder. It's a reminder of what we did wrong and what we need to correct. And I think we need to correct this. I support the school. It's why should we focus on one group in a negative fashion like that? Let's turn that around.
All right, Noel, thanks for your call at 800-642-1234.
And we go next to Liz. Liz joins us from Rice Lake. Hi, Liz.
Hello. Yes, well, I tend to agree with the caller that was just on. The Native American culture is the only one that has been dissected this way. You don't see, any other logos with other races being singled out the way the Native American culture has been. And I just think that it's time, to do away with that. And if it's offensive to the Native American, why should we keep on with it?
Liz, thank you for your call. Appreciate that.
We'll go now to Barry on the line in Oshkosh. Barry, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Just curious, as a person of a Native American descent myself, I frequently wear clothing which that promotes my heritage. Are Native American kids going to be precluded from that opportunity?
Oh, that's interesting, Barry, and I don't know what the school's answer to that would be. I think they're still hashing out exactly how the policy would work. From your perspective, with Native American heritage, how would you like to see that work?
Anything done with pride and tact is fine. That's wonderful. I'm proud of where we came from, and where all of us came from. Actually, from every different walk of life, and the USA is a mixing pot, and it mixed the locals with the immigrants, and this is what we got. And we got something good.
And Barry, I think one example that people would often think of would be the Washington NFL team's logo. Is that something you would be okay with not seeing in schools?
You know, I could see that not being in school because it's kind of, you know, it's a little skewed. But by the same token, I've lived with it and been an NFL fan for years, so I guess I'm, you know, I'm guilty of accommodating them.
All right, Barry, thanks a lot for sharing your perspective.
Yeah, we'll go next to Theodore joining us in Portage. Hi, Theodore.
Hi. I was wondering if they could set up a complaint process where if anyone disagrees with what you're wearing, that the student could be expelled. Say, like, if someone has a puma on the shirt or a little alligator and they're against those animals, that the students could be removed from school so my children don't have to see that.
Okay, and I just want to give a little background on this. American Indian logos are in the news in Colorado, California, and Oregon, considering bans in all of those states. A little bit more state background. Governor Walker signed a bill in 2013 making it harder to ban mascots and logos as offensive. The law requires now that complaints to the State Department of Administration seeking to ban a logo include a petition signed by members of the community equivalent to 10% of the district's student population.
Get back to our callers now. John is on the line in Milwaukee. John, hi.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You know, I just wanted to call and say I think people are missing the point here. I mean, when you look at what democracy really is, it's supposed to be about protecting the minority from the rule of the majority and making sure that their voices are still heard. And it doesn't matter if there's five people who are offended by it or if there's 50 people offended by it in a school district. We need to make sure that we're not making a caricature or something shameful out of their culture. And if they're offended by it, that is their right. And they can go to their elected representatives, whether it be a school board or their state representative, and make sure their voices are heard. And, you know, to the argument that, you know, it's the same thing with Scandinavians and the Vikings and the Fighting Irish and everything. Yeah, sure, you can make that argument. But if there were people who are saying, hey, we're genuinely offended by it, whether it's 10 people or 50 people, then again, those people's concerns should be addressed. So I really think people need to have a little bit of compassion and really start to pay attention to if it's offending somebody, it's offending somebody. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's a matter how they feel about it.
John, thanks for the call.
And we'll go next to Tony in Madison. Tony, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm agreeing with most of the people here. I think it's time to let the first people set the narrative. We can back out of it. We've had racial epithets for the Spanish, the Italians, the Norwegians, everybody. We don't use those epithets anymore. We don't jump down those people. We should probably let the first people decide which direction they want to go and show us how they want their pride shown and use that. I don't think we should be using the Northern European belief that those cultural associations are correct.
Tony, thank you for that call. Thanks, everybody, for your calls and sharing your thoughts. And remember, you can keep this conversation going over on the Central Time Facebook page.